to the West Coast Project podcast, where we talk about all things pop culture. And tonight we're talking about Louis Season 1, Episode 5, which was originally broadcast on July 20th, 2010. I'm Mike, and my co-host is Michelle. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Mike.
I'm a big fan of you.
Well, that's good. Should I act as uncomfortable as Louis did when that was said?
I know. I guess we can get to that.
Yeah.
So this episode rated 8.3 on the IMDb database. What would you give it? 8.3 out of 10.
Probably not that high, but I did think it was good. I would give it a 7.8 maybe. What about you?
I didn't like it. I'd give it like a 5.
Oh, tell me why.
I just didn't think it was that funny. It was like Louis' black expression, like his negative expression of life. Which I guess he kind of always is, but I don't know, I just didn't find it too funny.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of his stuff is, even the stuff that's funny sometimes has a not very funny kind of feel to it. Even the things that make you laugh because you kind of can't help laughing maybe at the irony or the parody of it. Sometimes it's not really funny when you think about it. But I don't know. Maybe it was because it had to do with some things from the South or something that I would give it a little higher. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because you're in the South. You liked it a little bit more.
Maybe.
It's funny because the women in the comments on IMDb, women liked it a lot less than men.
Really?
Yeah.
So which ones do the women typically rate higher than men? Is there a specific area of content?
I don't have that report prepared for you yet,
Michelle. Oh, okay. Well, okay. Next time.
One thing I notice, though, every time I watch Louis' intro is I get hungry for pizza.
Yeah, I know. Well, he eats some pretty good, you know, some pretty tempting food and has some wine. He seems to not be hurting in that area, although what was it that he cooked last time? The beans and rice or something?
Yeah, Pamela really dug those beans and rice.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one, but maybe. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
So Louis' premise in this is that the South really is different.
And I think that's fair, don't you?
He encounters a couple people that kind of solidify that for him. He starts out, he kind of hits that formula that I was alluding to, that he doesn't jump around so much from like comedy scene to video scene, back to comedy scene, back to video, back to plot, back to whatever. It's like comedy scene, and then the rest of the episode is plot. He does have a plot. He does have a comedy scene in the plot a little later on in the plot, but it's really two things. It's like the comedy setup and then the plot.
Yeah, and in this one, he also didn't do a pre-scene, so.
Right.
I'm not really sure if that tells us anything about the show or how it's going to go or what yet, but I know in some of them he does, and some of them it just goes straight into his opening song, so.
Right. He has a great plot post-scene, though, which is like really, I love the whole theme of this, which is, even though I didn't really like the comedy of this episode, I really like the theme of the entitlement and how people think they're entitled to certain things in life.
I have to tell you, that first scene where it's in the comedy club. Well, we can just talk about it first, I guess, before I go into it. But it's so funny to me. It's funny that you said that, too, because so he's in the comedy club, scene one. He's talking about how people feel entitled and feel like bad things should just never happen to them. And he makes a comment about how a waiter spills a drink on someone and the person's so indignant and they're like, what is the meaning of this? You know?
Right.
And I just think that's so hilarious. It's so funny that we've kind of incorporated it into our daily vocabulary around here whenever somebody cut you off, or if there's, like, I don't know, not a clean spoon in the spoon drawer or whatever, you know, that's kind of our go-to little statement now is, what is the meaning of this? Like, you know, like we're somehow entitled to it. It's pretty funny.
He gives it almost a Shakespearean, what is the meaning of this? Like, how could you spill a drink on me when I'm dressed up to go out to dinner with my date? Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's like that happens all the time with people in, like, when you're in a parking lot and you're backing up and people are, like, walking into the store and they're like, how could you come near me in this car? It's like, it's a parking lot. It's where cars travel. It's hard to see every angle, you know. There might be, you know, it's like, there might be a time where I come a little close to you. I'm sorry. It's not a big deal.
But okay, did something happen to you like that recently?
No, but, I mean, that happens all the time to people. It's like people walking through the, you know, like the Safeway parking lot. They're walking through a parking lot where there's lots of cars. Like, they're incensed that a car might accidentally back up a little bit close to them.
Oh, it's crazy. It's like, I was in Costco today, and there's people standing there, like, right in front of the spice that I'm going toward, and they're maybe a foot back from the spice, and I'm trying to be polite, and I'm standing across this big, wide, roomy aisle, and they just keep standing. They're talking about something completely unrelated. It's not even like they're looking at the product there, and so I go in to get the spice after I literally probably stood there a full minute waiting on these people, and then they were so offended that I had dared to walk in front of their cart, and it was one of these, you know, what is the meaning of this? And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, just because they're having their conversation about whatever, it wasn't even, they're stopped in the middle of the aisle talking about, I don't know, alternators or whatever they might be talking about, and I just wanted to get my pepper and go on with life. But
yeah, sounds like a South kind of episode.
Oh, I don't know. That doesn't happen out west, you don't think?
No. What is the meaning of this happens everywhere.
Yeah.
But looking for an alternator in Costco's South.
Oh, well, I don't know that they were actually looking for the alternator. I was just saying they were talking about something. They weren't even discussing what they were going to get. They were just, like, standing in the way. And that happens. I don't know if that happens where you live in the big box stores and stuff like that, but here it is just, and particularly when they have the little kiosk, or it's not a kiosk, but the little try it station set up where they have samples to give out. It's like people hover around this area, and if you're just shopping and you want to shop, it's very,
yeah, of course. You can't be in a hurry anywhere. People are zombies. They're just stumbling around looking for something to shiny to distract them.
What is that?
It's like 90% of humanity.
I mean, I just want to go in and get my food and bring it home, you put it perfectly. It's like it's a bunch of zombies. Of course, not everybody. I think most people are good and polite and sweet and all that. But you have these people who wander through, and it seems like more and more you have people that want to come out to these stores and they want to bring their families. You know, the whole family comes, and you have the strollers, and that's fine. But you have, like, maybe 8 or 10 people conglomerated together discussing stuff, and it's just like, it's crazy. It's crazy to just try to do normal stuff. I have no idea why I started talking about that. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. So do you have anything else about the first scene, the comedy bit? Anything else about, like, being born and kicking your mother in the vagina or anything?
I'm probably, not so much, no.
Okay, so he's getting ready to leave New York and go to the airport, and he runs into the United Nations cab fight with, like, it's almost like the exact opposite of what happens. Like, you're trying to find a cab in New York, it's always really hard to find one. But sometimes cabbies fight over you, and this was a pretty good representation of that.
Yeah, I was going to have to ask you about that one because, you know, of course, here, if you want a cab, you phone a cab. You actually have to pick up the phone and call for a cab. So, and I've been to New York, and I understand the process of hailing a cab, but I've never seen anything like that. That was it was just weird. I didn't understand what they were trying to say.
Yeah, I've seen it happen before with a couple cabs. Like, hey, I was here first. This is my fare. You got to let me take this guy. But I've also seen like the opposite, where it's impossible to get a cab. But I've never seen three. Like, that was funny because he made it like he over exaggerated it to three jamming in there trying to pick them up all at the same time.
Well, and they get out of their car and they're like threatening one another with crowbars and screaming in these foreign languages. And one of them grabs his suitcase and takes off running with his suitcase. So, of course, he has to follow that cab. And
well, they do that. That's what they do.
They do?
Yeah.
But the funniest part of that, I thought, was just that Louis is looking very bored. That's what made that scene so funny. Otherwise, it would have been kind of extraordinary. But he just looks bored with the whole thing. He just has that kind of blank shield face. And like it's just a common occurrence. And then they're driving away. And Louis's given the cabbie instructions on where he'd like to go and what road he'd like him to take and everything. And you can still see the other cab driver in the background through the back window, you know, yelling and chasing the cab with his crowbar. And it's just, it's bizarre.
Yeah, and he shouts out something about Africa.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That was funny. But yeah, you're right. Louis's like, yeah, just take, you know, take this certain way. I don't like the bridges. Like, he doesn't mind three cabs, like, slamming into each other, fighting over him, but he doesn't like going on the bridges.
No, and didn't one of them actually knock the windshield out of another cab? Or I know they hit the other cab or something.
Yeah, the side
with
window.
With a crowbar. Yeah. And it was just like another day in the life.
Well, Louis, that's not the first time Louis's indifferent to like some pretty dramatic things happening around him. Like, he gets to the airport and he's trying to check in for his flight. And he's going to Birmingham. So the title of this episode is Travel Day and then / South. So he's traveling to the South for a comedy gig in Birmingham. So he's checking in on his flight to Birmingham, and he does what, I mean, this also happens a lot. Like, he goes up to the person at the check-in desk, at the flight desk at the airport, and he's like, yeah, I've got the 11:40 flight to Birmingham. And it's like, click, clickety, click, click, click. Like, she checks everything. Everything he says, she has to type something. She's like, where are you going? Birmingham. And on what flight? He's like, 11:40. Like, all the stuff he just told her.
Yeah, and well, you know, you would know that. You're certainly much more traveled than I am. But that was very funny how everything he said, it was like she didn't hear any of it. She just, it didn't matter unless it was like in her time and in her, it had to be an answer to her question for it to mean something to her, which I thought was kind of funny. Oh, but right before that happened, remember there was a guy and he was standing up there. It was another one of those, what is the meaning of this kind of moments where the guy, his flight got canceled. Remember that part?
Yeah, the angry guy.
Yeah, and he's standing up there talking to this person at the desk, and his flight's canceled, and he's just screaming at this woman. He wanted to go today. That's why he made the reservation for today, and he's screaming, and he's just, you know, you think he's going to, like, have a, you know, a cardiac event or something. And he finally walks away and he stops and he just stares at Louis. Did you notice that scene?
Yeah, like, what are you going to do to help me? What's your play in this?
And it was an awkward amount of silence that it just stood there and he kept staring at Louis until Louis finally, like, looks away and he's just embarrassed. It's like he stood there and he's seen this tantrum maybe. And he just looks embarrassed about it. I thought that was funny, too.
Well, it's pretty powerful because all of the stuff, except for maybe the plane crash that we'll talk about and all that, but all of this stuff happens, like, every day, like, routinely every day. Like, people get airlines overbook people, and they can't get on the plane even though they have a reservation. And the cabs, like, conflict, and, you know, one guy wants to get him before the other cab. And, like, that's pretty normal everyday stuff. But you're right. Louis got kind of this Teflon suit on. He kind of just cruises through most of this. But, yeah, that guy gave him a pretty imploring look, like, hey, man, what are you going to do to help me here? And Louis just like, whatever.
Yeah, and he gave him a look, like, for a long time. That's what gets me with these looks and stuff, is that they just go on. It's the uncomfortableness of it, because it doesn't end.
Right. So Louis going to Birmingham on the 11:40 flight. Where are you going, sir? Birmingham. what time is your flight? 11:40. Do you have any ID? And he's like already has his ID up on the counter. He's like, yep. And he's like nudges it a little bit more. And of course, she's typing between each of these comments. And so she kind of gets him set up and he's ready to go. And he's like, hey, let me just ask you, so how's that flight looking? And she's like, of course, type some more. I'm sorry, sir, that flight's canceled. He's like, what are you talking about? That was, you know, you just 4 minutes ago, you told me I had a seat on that flight. Did something happen in the last 4 minutes? And she's like, yes, sir, the plane crashed.
That was really bad and completely stoic. Completely stoic. Martha, the reservationist, she has no emotion over anything. Nothing has any effect on her. It's just everything said in that kind of the flight attendant voice that people mock, you know, like the bye-bye, bye-bye.
Well, that's what everything, it is.
Yeah, it's just that completely stoicism she's showing or whatever. It's yeah.
So Louis asks her if the crash was a bad crash, and of course, clickety-click some more. She has to type, and yeah, it's bad. Everyone died except for a baby.
Yeah, and then he's like, really? Oh, wow. And then she's like, how do you feel about flying standby for the next flight? And he's like, yeah, okay.
Sure,
and
I'm
just do-do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do, no right. Big deal.
The do-do-do continues on from the cab do-do-do.
Yeah, just like nothing really affects him.
So Louis continues on, and again, we're still in plot. There's no more comedy jumping around. But Louis, so every rude airport thing that ever happens to anyone happens to Louis. Like, of course, he gets on this plane and he waits, you know, and he sees his seatmate, which we all wonder, like, when we sit on a plane seat, who's going to be our seatmate? And you kind of watch people come down the aisle and like, oh, I hope it's not that person. Oh, God, I hope it's not that. I hope it's not that family of kids, you know, or I hope it's not that... whatever looking person. And of course Louis gets the gigantic fat guy.
I mean, the guy is huge. The guy is taken, and he's sweet. He's really this sweet, gentle giant kind of guy who plops down basically on top of Louis. He's literally taken up half or more of Louis's seat on right. top of him, and Louis is doing his polite Louis self
with a big cowboy hat too.
Oh, the cowboy hat. Yeah, that was pretty bad. Oh, but before that, remember he had to go through the x-ray, through the security screening before he even got on the plane.
Oh yeah, he had to get his lube approved by the TSA people.
Right. Yeah. He puts everything out on the little x-ray in the little bins. And then the guy behind him takes the bin that he's put up there for his own stuff.
Right, that happens too. That kind of continues that theme of like every possible thing that could go wrong. That usually goes like rude things that happen all the time to people. Louis catches every single thing that could possibly be rude or go wrong.
I'm gonna have to travel more because this stuff is so now this part of the thing is unfamiliar to me.
Now, people do that all the time. They steal your bucket, and plus they jam them along. They push them along, like before you're ready, like they're shoving their stuff along. It's like totally true.
You mean like the people behind you?
They're like shoving their stuff down the. Because they're just rude. They're just like inconsiderate. They just like want to get on their way, and you know they don't think about the person in front of them.
I mean, it's not going to get them done any quicker, is it?
No.
I don't know.
It's just rudeness.
Yeah, I don't know. That's definitely your thing. I mean,
so yeah, you're right. He encounters that guy in the line to get checked in. And then also, we forgot about the guy on the phone in the plane before Louis sits down with the fat guy. There's the guy on the phone, like, blah, 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 blah. What do you think about the Jets? And then Louis starts talking to him, like,
he starts responding, right, to his question.
And the guy starts answering the things Louis says. That was great.
Is that a problem? Oh, and I was going to ask you, speaking of which, since we're talking about this, you know, they're considering letting people use cell phones on airplanes. What's your thought on that?
I think they should let people use cell phones, but not talk, not make phone calls.
Well, I think that's what they're talking about, though, right?
Yeah, that's good. Let them use email and texting and whatever.
No, I think that what they were considering, though, is telephone calls. And I didn't think anything about it. I'm like, sure, why shouldn't you use a cell phone on an airplane if you'd like to phone someone? And I was surprised at the number of people who they vehemently disagreed with that. And I guess I see why.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I agree that they should let you text and get messages and stuff and text, like, and check your internet and all that, but not talk.
Are people really that obnoxious, though?
You were just talking about Costco. You know people, when they get an inch, they'll take a mile.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I might be guilty of overusing my phone as well, so I don't want to cast many stones, but...
But Louis gets his lube through the TSA. It was funny that the black woman, like, she's like, oh, okay, I'll let him through. Like, she understands what he's doing. But he has to, like, explain it down to the nth grain of detail that this is what this lube is for. That was pretty funny.
It was really, embarrassing, yeah.
So anyway, then they're on a plane and the pilot's voice comes on and it's like... It's like the typical pilot voice, but he starts talking about how they're having problems. And one of the problems was actually like a broken wing.
Oh, I know. Due to tornadoes, hurricanes, a broken wing, something safety related to the plane.
And most of our safety features are not safety working in their safety functions.
And again, Louis just does that take it in stride kind of thing he does. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But then the pilot goes, but don't worry, we'll be taking off on time.
And the pilot's voice was Louis.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, how do you know? I mean, how did you know? Did you just know?
IMDb, baby. Look it up.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. That's smart. Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, so he has a broken wing and all kinds of safety features that aren't working and bad weather and everything. So,
And Louis asks for the glass of water.
Right, he gets the minuscule glass of water.
It's like a thimble. They bring him a thimble with water in it. And he's like he's like holding it up and taking these little teeny tiny... What's that mocking? Do they bring you little tiny glasses of water or something?
Yeah, it's always probably less than you want. But he also gives it the indifference that he gives everything else in the scene. Like, okay, well, there's my glass of water. He doesn't even question it. He just takes it.
This little bitty, I mean, literally thimble-sized thing of water. So he and the big guy fall asleep, and they fall asleep on each other. They're like leaning into each other, which was kind of sweet. And then the turbulence wakes them up.
Yeah, another thing that kind of happens is, you know, you're stuck wherever you are. You're stuck with next to whatever person. You just got to deal with it. So if you end up drooling on their shoulder or they drool on you, that's kind of what happens.
Yeah, well, what's a little drool amongst friends?
So then Louis ends up in Albuquerque, in Birmingham, and he's...
Oh, no. Before that, remember the pilot comes on? They wake up to the turbulence, remember?
Well, yeah, I thought we talked about that.
I don't think we talked about the turbulence. And the pilot goes, don't worry, people, we're hitting a little turbulence. Everything's going to be fine. And then he says, God have mercy on our souls or something. And people are screaming and they're being thrown around. And Louis and the big guy are talking to one another. And they're going, do you think we're going to be okay? And they're like, man, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be okay. And somebody behind them starts doing that real scream, you know, and one of them look at the other one and says, I don't know, man, that's the kind of scream you hear right before people die. And they're like, yeah. And they're sitting there. And then it's just, you know, they're just like walking down the thing back into another airport. And they're
right, playing. They kind of high-five each other.
Yeah, that was kind of music.
That was a different flight. Like, that was crazy, man.
But again, it was just the no big deal.
Right. So then Louis doing his comedy bit in Birmingham, and he gets kind of heckled by a guy. And I looked up that guy on IMDb, Austin Jones. He was in Boardwalk Empire. I don't know what he did, but that wise ass guy in Birmingham was in Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Louis does that comedy bit. So I guess that kind of substitutes for his interjection of his comedy bit back home and at Caroline's or at the comedy club in New York. But it's still the plot. And he's going on with the plot, and after the comedy routine, he goes out to eat, and he runs into a couple fans in the restaurant. He runs into the second fat guy that he has to sit next to.
Yeah, the guy in the restaurant who comes up to him and says that his sister is a big fan of you. He keeps saying, big fan of you.
She's a big fan of you. Like he's all pissed off about it.
That is totally accurate. The wording and everything, as I'm sure you're probably aware, but it's totally accurate. But his sister, he has a sister, her name's Doreen, and he wants Louis to get up and go meet her. So.
Yep, so Doreen, cute or not cute?
Doreen is cute, made to look not cute for this particular scene. She's made to look, I think, kind of hokey, hillbilly kind of way. What do you think?
Well, she's from the South. That's how she should look, right?
Well, no. Everybody doesn't have the scrunchie. You know better. You know better, Mike.
I know, but they make her really, like,
stereotype
of somebody in the South. I think she's really cute. I think she's really cute, and she's like she likes Louis, and she like kind of shyly admits that she's attracted to him. And that person is Liz Morton. She's an actress, and she's been on a few shows, but I think she's really cute.
Yeah, I mean, she looked really cute, but she was kind of dressed down, so to speak.
Yeah, like you're from New York and I'm just from here. And Louis's like trying to prop her up a little bit by saying, well, you know, people from New York are losers too sometimes.
Right.
So anyway, then she's devastated that he has to leave. Like, well, what do you think else is going to happen? Like, here we are. She just goes to the restaurant just because she didn't have enough money to go to the show in Birmingham. So she's like, I heard you're in town, so we came out to the restaurant. And did you happen to notice the food that they had?
I noticed what he was eating, but no, I didn't notice what...
She had nothing, or either he had nothing or she had nothing, but there was only one plate. It had like some leftover French fries and a pickle. So either he ate and she just didn't eat and waited, or she ate and he didn't eat, but whatever, there was one plate for two people.
Well, and she was, I mean, she made him feel bad, I think. That, you know, he felt guilty because she said the tickets were just too expensive.
Yeah, but what does she expect to happen? He's there eating, like, okay, that's good luck that she met him because he came into the restaurant. But she's, like, really devastated when he says, well, I have to leave now. Like, what does she think else is going to happen?
I don't know. I think she wanted, I don't know. I don't know what she wanted. That was, like, her big moment, and then it was ending, maybe.
Well, it was. I mean, it's like, what else is supposed to happen? Anyway, her brother is Ben Jeffrey. He's like, I guess his name was Curtis in the episode. Mm-hmm. He was a juror on The Good Wife. I don't ever watch Good Wife, so I don't know what a juror on Good Wife ever did, but he was in that show.
No, I don't watch it either.
But he gets really mad when Louis wants to leave. Do you want her to cry? Like, you don't want to make out with her? You want to make her cry? Like, he gets all pissed off that Louis just wants to go on his way, which is really kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, because you can tell Louis is just uncomfortable with the whole thing and has no idea.
Right. So Louis gets up to leave. He goes out in the parking lot, and here, the next thing he knows is Curtis is there with, like, this big-ass, you know, Walking Dead gun in his face.
Yeah, and he's mad, and he's going back into the, she's just a big fan of you, you know, you don't like her, and she's a big fan of you.
Right. Like you owe us more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really wasn't, I don't understand what he expected, like what you said. I don't understand where he expected that to go. I mean, do you think Louis was going to ask her out for dinner the next day or...
No, Lou's going to go back home, man. He's not going to hang around in Birmingham.
Well, there's nothing wrong with Birmingham. I thought it was funny, though. Birmingham, remember when he was doing the comedy show and they wanted him to make fun of Mobile? In the comedy show he did there?
Yeah,
he
that was heckler.
Like, he's like, I got nothing to say about Mobile. And they were, like, mad at him because he wouldn't say anything bad about Mobile.
Well, they were just taunting him, like, make fun of Mobile, make fun of Birmingham. Come on, come on. We'll kick your New York sorry ass. So anyway, the guy pulls his Rick Grimes gun on him in the parking lot, Curtis or whatever, and the sheriff comes up and saves him by batting Curtis in the back of the head with a baton.
Yeah, and then the cop offers to give him a ride back to his hotel, and he's got, like, the knocked out Curtis in the back of the car.
Yeah, and Curtis, or the sheriff is, the sheriff's like, well, it's a pretty regular thing around here. Like, guys pulling a gun on you in a parking lot is a pretty regular thing.
Yeah, I got the feeling he was talking specifically about Curtis, but I could be wrong, but that's how I read it. Was more like it was he was talking about having to handle Curtis.
Oh, I took it as a pretty regular thing around Birmingham.
Yeah, I don't know.
I went to Birmingham one time in my life, and we went out to dinner, and the hors d'oeuvres for dinner. we went to a barbecue place, in a place called Five Corners. So sorry to anybody from Birmingham that's like pissed off about this, but the hors d'oeuvres for dinner was white bread stuffed in a basket with like barbecue sauce. It was a barbecue joint, so I mean,
I started to say, where did you go? You had to have went to like a barbecue place for that.
Yeah, well, we're in Birmingham. We're like, let's go out to have some barbecue, some southern good eating barbecue. So they're like, well, go down to Five Corners. So we went to Five Corners, wherever the hell that is, and it was like this trashy place with like, you know, the basket before dinner was a basket of white bread with barbecue sauce.
People eat that. That's what, you know, I mean, white bread dipped in barbecue sauce.
That's good eating.
That's good. I mean, what's wrong with that? Don't make fun of that. That's good stuff.
So that was my experience in Birmingham. But to continue on with the show, the sheriff is Dan Ziske. Dan is was the vice president on House of Cards last year in the first season of House of Cards.
Oh, was he? I knew I recognized him from somewhere.
And he has a special favor to ask of Louis, like,
oh my God.
Well, I guess I really did do you some good. I really did help you out. Like, Louis's like, hey, thanks a lot. You really helped him out. And he's like, ah, no problem. But then he's like, well, you know what? I guess I really did help you out. Like, implying that there should be more payback from Louis.
Well, I think he said that. He said, usually when a fella helps a fella out, he'll offer to do something in return or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And Louis's like, well, you know, he does this whole, I don't know what you're talking about kind of look. And he asks him, I think he asked him, like, what? And then the cop says, like a kiss on the lips.
Right.
And then you get like this silence for a minute.
Yeah. So, you know, in this episode, I got a couple flashbacks from old movies, like when the cabs converged on Louis, I got like the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles flashback. Like somebody stole the guy's cab in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So it's kind of the opposite, but that I thought of that. And then in this scene, I got the flashback of like Deliverance, like kiss me on the lips, boy.
Well, he wasn't insisting, I don't think. Do you?
He made it pretty clear that that's what he wanted. And here's Louis like, in debt to this guy, and he's in like a place far from home, and he's like totally out of his element. I don't know.
And
it was
he's
creepy.
Just had this really weird experience, and this guy's just saved him from who knows what, somebody coming after him with the gun and everything. But this is where Louis says the South really is different. People say it, and he's always denied it, but it's true.
Right.
So
with Curtis still knocked out in the back seat, like snoozing away with his head tilted back.
Yeah, it's just another one of those take it in stride kind of moments. It's just whatever.
Yep. So the show ends, and then there's one final scene where Louis's back on the plane going back home, and he sees the lady that everybody on the plane sees every time they fly. And Louis is our voice. He's like, She's trying to jam the 58-pound bag into the overhead where it's clearly not going to fit. And she says, I always travel with this bag. I always put it in the overhead. And Louis's like, the fact that you travel all the time with this bag doesn't make the bag any smaller or the overhead any bigger. Look at it with your regular eyes, not your crazy eyes.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Look at it with your real eyes and not your crazy eyes.
Which is totally true. Like, we've all been behind the crowd of people because they're all jammed up because somebody's trying to fit something that doesn't fit. And it's like, come on, can't you see that's not going to fit? Because they're looking at it with their crazy eyes.
Okay, so what do you do in that
instance? Give up and you say, look, I guess I got to admit it's not going to fit. I give it back to the stewardess or the flight attendant. She takes it back up front and gets checked.
Okay.
You can't defeat physics because you think it's going to fit.
Well, no, but I wouldn't have even known what to do in that situation. But don't they have the little things in the airport, the size restrictive
container things? Yeah, but people don't ever do that.
Well, why wouldn't you do it? You should do it if you're... I mean, you don't want to get on there and then have your stuff not fit.
Because they're stupid.
Oh, okay.
It's like people at Disney World trying to go, you know, like you must be 40 inches to ride this ride. They don't ever really do that. They like want to believe that they're going to get whatever they want to get what they want no matter what.
You mean they're too short or they're...
Yeah, whatever. Like you're too fat, you're too big, you need extra seatbelt, you're too small, you're too, you know, too whatever. You just do it because you want to do it and you just assume everything's going to work out.
Well, that doesn't usually work for people, does it?
Well, we saw what happened with this lady with the crazy eyes.
I don't know. Did she ever get it in? I mean, it didn't show us.
Of course not. Did you see that bag? That bag was like it was like an army duffel bag trying to get into a 16-inch overhead carrier space.
So you see that a lot when you fly, these people trying to fit these enormous bags into a little tiny overhead.
You do see that pretty often, yeah.
So can you just carry it in your lap or put it under your seat or something? No, I don't know.
If it fits under your seat, you can put it there, but it's not going to fit under your seat if it doesn't fit in the overhead space.
You know, I'm not like even 150 miles from Birmingham, right? I mean, I'm like really close to Birmingham. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
I'll put the cricket sounds in there.
Oh, I'm just saying, you know, that's my people, y'all. It really is.
Yeah, but the see with your real eyes, not your crazy eyes, isn't necessarily you. Or is it?
No, I'm not like that. I try not to be an inconvenience to other people.
Are you Doreen waiting in restaurants for famous people to show up?
Every Saturday night.
Well, you got to at least check ahead, check their schedules, make sure they're going to be in town.
No, you know, that kind of takes the spontaneity out of it.
You just wing it?
Yeah. I mean, you never know who's likely to come through.
Yeah, plus that restaurant. What was that restaurant? That wasn't much of anything. Like, they had the four syrup bottles. So, you know, it's like a, you know, Waffle House or something.
Waffle House is a good restaurant. Hey, speaking of which, guess who's in town here tonight? One guess for all the pie. Who's in town in Chattanooga tonight?
Louis C.K.
No, Carl from Walking Dead. We're having Coral? Chat on Carl.
Coral.
You know what I'm saying. Carl.
I know, but Rick calls him Coral.
Coral, yeah. Coral. Well, I probably do too. I'm having a time learning to talk on my cell phone, getting it to recognize my speech. But anyway, yeah, Carl's in town. So see, you never know.
Chandler Riggs.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. My youngest daughter was kind of excited about that. So.
What's he doing in Chattanooga?
We're having some kind of convention, I think, called ChatCon. It's kind of like a Dragon Con convention. That's, of course, on a smaller scale that we have here. And, my daughter heard that he was going to be here for that. So I'm assuming he's here. She heard it. So.
Okay.
So you never know, even though we're very not a big populated place.
So is Chattanooga less south than Birmingham?
No, Chattanooga's north of Birmingham.
Well, that's what I said. Is it less south than Birmingham? Like less typical, you know, prejudice south?
I don't know what prejudice south means. You've been to Chattanooga. What do you think?
I think they're both the same.
I mean, I think we're just the South. I don't know. I don't think you can gauge anybody by anybody else. I think it's a person-to-person thing.
I think anything south of Minneapolis is like in a different country.
No, you don't.
No, but I think the South is the South. I don't think, you know, like Birmingham or Chattanooga or Atlanta, I think they're all pretty much the same.
Yeah, I mean, they have different nuances, but I would agree with you. I think, for the most part, particularly the Southeast is the Southeast, yeah. I don't think I could argue that.
Yeah, it's not Los Angeles, which is South California.
Well, that might be a little different. I don't know. Never been, but it might be.
All right, Michelle, what else? Anything else?
That's all I got. It's the end of my notes.
Okay, well, that's it for West Coast Project Podcast.
Thank you.